Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. from New York, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, March 10th, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in There's a Solution. We are on page 23, the bottom of the page, fourth paragraph, starts with the tragic truth, goes into the top of page 24. Every case long before it's suspected, and we're going to be reading and sharing on commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers, reading the 12 steps is Mary F., the 12 traditions is Jen P., reader of the text is Tony B., page 164 is Susan H., our backup is Nancy P., our newcomer greeter is Karen W., and our second hour host is Betsy H. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, March 9th, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,268, that is 23268, and for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,269, that's 23269. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary F. to please read the 12 steps. Come on in, Mary, please.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, fellows. My name is Mary F., and I am a compulsive overeater calling from Virginia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Mary. I will now ask Jen P. to come on in and please read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Jen.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Jen P. Abstinent compulsive overeater living in the solution, gratefully today. the 12 traditions. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Jen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop on sharing what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter, There is a Solution. We are on page 23, at the bottom of the page, the fourth paragraph, which starts the tragic truth and goes to the top of 24 and ends with case long before it is suspected. I'm now going to ask Tony B. to please come in and start reading. Come on in, Tony.
Thanks, Kathy. My name's Tony B, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. The tragic truth is that if the man be a real alcoholic, the happy day may not arrive. He has lost control. At a certain point in the drinking of every alcoholic, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop is of absolutely no avail. This tragic situation has already arrived in practically every case long before it is suspected. So here they are looking at the state of alcoholism through the ages, I suppose, and before the solution, you know, was there, looking back at this tragic truth, because I don't think any longer it is a tragic truth now that we've got a solution. But if the man be a real alcoholic, you know, he just, that day where he can assert his power of will may not arrive. And I think that may could probably be will not arrive. If you're a real alcoholic, if you're a real compulsive overeater, then we're really in an impossible situation, where we have a physical allergy which demands, once we put certain foods in our body, we keep eating them. We cannot stop. And we have a mental twist which ensures that we'll pick up again, no matter how long we've been abstaining for, no matter, you know, no matter how good we get at not picking up for periods of time, our mind will take us back to eating again. So really, we are doomed. And I think this long before it's suspected. Oh gosh, sorry. Hold on a moment. I do apologise. I didn't want that to keep disturbing. I think I was born with this disease, is what I was about to say there. I think that I've never been in a state where I could stop or moderate on my own willpower. I think it's always been with me. And it is a tragic situation, but not anymore, because there is a solution, and that's the chapter that we're in here. And thank God for that. So I'm sorry about that interruption, and I will pass there. Thank you, Kathy.
That was fine, Tony. Thank you so much for getting us started. I'm now ready to take some names, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday of either meeting, we ask that you pass so that other fellows can share. If you'd like to share, please press *1 to unmute your phone. I'm ready to take our first lineup. Who'd like to share with us?
Perry W.
Which W?
Terry.
Larry K.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Larry. Please press *1 to unmute your phone so you can share with us, please.
Colleen M.
Thank you, Colleen. Well, I'm going to start with these three. We have Terry W., Larry K., followed by Colleen. After Colleen, we'll take another lineup. And if you just joined us, we are on page 23, the bottom of the page, the fourth paragraph going into the top of page 24. Terry, please come in, share with us, and tell us where you're calling in from.
Good morning. This is Terry W., recovered from Massachusetts, and a compulsive overeater. And this is a great paragraph. This whole chapter is just incredible. But, you know, we're talking about asserting his will. And if I am a real alcoholic, this day may never arrive. And that's so true. It will never, ever arrive until I give away my power of will. And we're looking at step two. I have to believe a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And I have to give up my will. And what I want to replace that will with is willingness, because that's all this program really needs, is just to be willing to let go and let God, you know. And it also says every alcoholic passes into a state where most powerful desire to stop is of no avail. And I think of that when was that awareness for me? And it was when I would say food went in my mouth without my permission. I don't know how I even got to the store to get the food. I don't know how I even put it in my mouth. I had no control whatsoever. And if I wasn't eating, I'd have panic attacks. So, I mean, I had no control over the food whatsoever. It had all control over me. And it was scary. I lost total control. I could not stop. And again, you know, my will has to be put down. And I have to turn it into willingness, as I said, and I have to believe a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And what a beautiful thing to just realize, you know, it's like, I don't run the show anymore. What a gift is that, right? But, so thank you for letting me share. I hope everyone has a beautiful day.
Thank you so much for starting us, Terry. That's Terry W. from Massachusetts. If you just came in, we are on page 23 in the big book. We're in the fourth paragraph at the bottom that starts the tragic truth, ending at the top of page 24. Every case long before it is suspected. Next up, we have Larry K., followed by Colleen M., and then I can take some more names. Please come in and share with us, Larry.
Thanks so much. Thanks for your service. I appreciate you. This is Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. At a certain point in the drinking, every alcohol, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is of absolutely no avail. You know, I've heard willpower described this way. Willpower is trying very hard to not do something that you want to do very much. See, when there's an internal war between my own desires, willpower, it might help me win a few battles along the way in the short run. But considering the vicious cycle, the allergy of the body and the mental twist, in the long run, it's going to fail every time. And so, you know, this is why I need a relationship with power. And real change and transformation happen at a deep subconscious level. And the 12 steps were designed to bring about the level of subconscious change necessary to drive out the mental obsession. A higher power, you know, paves the way for this subconscious change to happen. And I'll use a metaphor, a couple of metaphors actually. The 12 steps can be likened to a gardener tending a neglected garden, you know. Just as a gardener, you know, you methodically remove the weeds, you nurture the soil, you plant the seeds. Well, the 12 steps work to clear away the mental clutter and distractions. And for the gardener, while he recognizes that the sun and the rain, these are, you know, critical things necessary for my garden to flourish, but they're clearly outside of my control. So what I do is I form a new relationship with the power that does provide the sun and the rain. And when this relationship is established, you know, whether the sun comes or not, miraculously, I'm able to show up every day in my garden, doing the things I need to do that are under my control. And this relationship with power prepares my mind for these healthy habits. And those healthy habits transform the landscape of my thoughts and behaviors rather than the garden itself. And sometimes I use another metaphor. The 12 steps can be compared to a ship, you know, navigating through a stormy sea. Each step represents a course correction or an adjustment, and that the captain makes to steer the ship safely to shore. And the crew learns to work together and trust in the process to overcome the turbulent waves and the strong winds. And individuals following the 12 steps learn to confront challenges and find some stability, you know, being guided toward a better destination. I need to rely on a power greater than human power. These metaphors kind of describe what recovery is for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. That's Larry K. from Illinois. Next up, we have Colleen M. And after Colleen, I can take another lineup. And just if you came in, we are on page 23, the bottom of the page, fourth paragraph, going into the top of page 24. So, Colleen, please come in and share with us.
Hey, good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service and everyone else who's done service this morning. This is Colleen M., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. So the tragic truth is that if a man be a real alcoholic, the happy day may not arrive. That was my tragic truth for many years. And until I was able to really accept on a deep level, you know, concede to my innermost self that I was truly a real compulsive overeater and what that actually meant, the gravity of this disease and what it was doing to my life, you know, not just my physical appearance, but, you know, my mental and spiritual development. I couldn't accept the solution to it. You know, I struggled for years trying to fight this thing with my own ideas, you know, the next diet, the next sponsor, the next, you know, meeting. I had no idea that I had lost my choice and I had lost control. And, you know, they say all the time in the rooms that once you become a pickle, you can never go back to being a cucumber. You know, I had to accept that, but on a deep level that, you know, once I crossed over. And I don't know when this happened. I think it was very young, you know, when I was very young, you know, in childhood, that I became a compulsive overeater, not a hard eater. but it was very important for me. And when I work with others, very important for to help them understand the gravity of this. You know, when I've passed into a state where the most powerful desire to stop eating is absolutely of no avail. You know, like I said, this happened for me well before I realized it. And some people will never be able to accept this. And that's what we do here, is to help share our stories so that other people can identify in and hopefully begin that process of coming to believe. And the good news is we have a solution. The solution is that we have a power outside of ourselves that can help us with this. I never understood that. I never had a way of connecting to that power, even though I grew up in a religious home and I grew up with a religion and spent most of my adult life in a church. I had no idea how to connect to the power that I needed to solve this and many of my other addictive problems. The way that it happens is we work these steps, and I had to get a power that I could trust, and then I had to start turning my will and life over to that power. I had to put the food down. I had to do the rest of the steps, and then I had a spiritual awakening. And if it can happen for me, it can happen for any of you. It just follow the directions that everyone that's gone before you is sharing with you. Put the food down and start working the program, and you can have some peace from this thing. So thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. That was Colleen M. from Maryland. And just a reminder, we are in There's a Solution on page 23, bottom of the page, fourth paragraph. The tragic truth, it starts and ends with the top of 24. Every case long before it is suspected. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Friday or Monday of either meeting, we ask that you hold back. But I am now ready to take our second lineup. If you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute your phone. I'm ready to take some names.
Christina L.
Trisha D.
Christiana K.
Okay, I have Christina L., Trisha, and Christiana. Would anyone else like to share with us this morning?
William W.
Julie G.
Thank you, William. Who was after William?
Julie G.
Good morning, Julie. Thank you. Anyone else want to join this lineup? I have Christina L., Trisha, Christiana, William, and Julie. Christina L., please come in and share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kathleen, and everyone doing service. Thank you for your service. This is Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater. And today is my birthday. I have hit the big 5-0. So anyways, besides that, like, you know, this program has given me the excitement of actually celebrating such a huge milestone birthday, because my 40s were my best, and it's because of OA that was the case, and I look forward to what 50s bring me. But looking at this paragraph, he has lost control. My ego does not want me to share what I'm about to say, because my ego wants you to think that I'm perfect and that I don't have this problem. But, you know, in looking at this paragraph, I think I was looking at it yesterday and again a little bit today. And, you know, my initial thought was, but I was able to control. I was able to stop. And I think I touched on this a little bit last week when I shared. And it wasn't because of anything that I did that I was able to stop. It was the grace and mercy of a higher power. But what my thinking is telling me is it's only having me look at the situations where I was basically in program and trying to, you know, get abstinent again and work the steps again. I had turned my will over to God again, and that grace and mercy came in. in that moment. I still had the cravings and the irritability and what goes with that withdrawal and everything. But, you know, the thought about picking up was not there. But what my mind is trying to make me forget is all the years before I came into program when I wanted to stop and I could not stop. No matter what I did, no matter what I tried. And I'll be the first to admit, I did not try everything because one, I was worried about what other people would think, or if I went to my husband and told him, I want to try this and I want to spend this money and stuff like that. It was like I knew what he was going to say. And to protect myself from being criticized, I avoided that. So I didn't try everything, but I did was in a pay and way for 11 years. And I thought I was an incredibly loyal person because I was going for 11 years. And I felt it was a really good program. It did have some really good thoughts and ideas and tools, but it could not help me get abstinent. It could not keep the food down. And what I ended up realizing is that was not loyalty. That was absolute insanity. So today, thank you, God, for bringing me to OA, for giving me this life that, you know, even though the 40s were filled with ups and downs and a lot of trials and stuff like that, you know, I can look back on that time and I am incredibly grateful for it. And thank you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina. Happy birthday to you. Christina L. from Florida. Next up, we have Tricia, followed by Christiana, and then William D. Tricia, can you come in, give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling in from, please?
Yes, this is Tricia D. from Georgia, outside Atlanta. Again, this paragraph is, they all are so powerful. You know, the tragic truth, if a man or a woman be a real compulsive overeater, a happy day may not arrive. It may not arrive because the tragic truth is we still think we have power. You know, that sentence right before it, assert his power. I always thought, and everyone told me, I told myself, I needed to have more power. I needed to have more willpower. And not until I got into the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, especially a mission for you, and working these 12 steps, did I start to understand what was going on with me, that I did have this disease and that it was threefold. And I have this, first off, the initial thing is this physical allergy. I take that one bite and I can't stop, you know. And then I learned further on that there's a mental obsession, this mental obsession that, okay, I will stop this time. I won't do it again. And again, my power, my power. And then that last part of that disease, of the threefold nature of it, is that spiritual malady where I constantly think that, you know, again, I forget that there is a power. And I was raised a Christian all my life, but yet I never took God into the food, into that dimension of that's one room in my house. I don't think I wanted to give up because it was so sacred and it gave me such consolation. But now I'm responding, thanks to the beautiful miracle of this program and finding neutrality. I'm just so grateful for 5 years with Vision for You and having neutrality with the food finally. It doesn't call me only because I have found the power, which is my higher power, who I call God. And, you know, the sentence above that says, in their hearts, they really don't know why they do it. And my heart was so blocked with fear and resentments. And I had no idea that the real problem is not it, the food. The real problem was all centered in my mind. It's centered. We talked about earlier this week, or last week, excuse me, that I have got to surrender every day and know that God wants me to, you know, that vision of the vine branches. You know, he is the vine, I'm the branch. I've got to stay grafted to him. or I will have no power and I will not be able to put that food down, nor will I be able to open my heart to surrender, just look at my part and what's going on in my life. Where have I been fearful and facing those fears and facing those resentments that I had so bottled up, and that was why I went into the food. So I'm just so grateful that I did hit a rock bottom after I had a liver transplant and went back into the food. You know, it's just a beautiful thing, and I am so grateful that I can say I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I have found the miracle. So please, newcomers online, don't give up. Stay around for the miracle. It does happen. Just surrender and give your heart to God. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was Tricia D. from Georgia. And just a reminder, we are on the bottom of page 23, the tragic truth, going into the top of 24, long before it is suspected. And next up, we have Christiana, followed by William D. and Julie G. And after Julie, I can take some more names. Christiana, could you come in and give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling in from, please, and share with us?
Sure. Good morning, everyone. This is Christiana K. in California. Compulsive overeater. thank you so much, moderator, for your service and for your shares already. Got so much out of it. And the reading, yes. The tragic truth is that if the man, the real alcoholic, the happy day may not arrive. And I waited for that happy day for so long and fantasized and made promises and really, really wanted it. But and I would make the promises to myself, right? And tomorrow is going to be different. And then tomorrow would come, and before the morning was over, I had already overeaten all of that I said I wasn't going to. I was powerless, right? That's lack of power. That's our dilemma. So I needed to find a power greater than myself, greater than the food. And until I surrendered to that and said, I just can't do this. I can't do this myself. I need God, because I thought the food was too trivial for God to ask God about. It's just food. It can't be that bad. And in the meantime, I was killing myself with it, right? So at a certain point in my eating, I passed into that state where the most powerful desire to stop eating compulsively was absolutely no avail. And I'm so grateful that I did, and that I had the gift of desperation and came and have a life second to none today, thanks to this program, to the STAPS sponsorship. And I'm very grateful. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Christiana K. from California. Next up, we have William D., followed by Julie G., and then I could take some more names. William, can you come in and share with us and tell us where you're calling in from, please?
Hey, this is William. I'm in Arizona. And I was just thinking about one thing that's a little bit different, I think, from us food people and alcoholics, is how much earlier this thing starts. It seems like with alcoholics, it's more maybe in their teenage years, maybe in their 20s. But I remember being about 7 years old, and I remember it was the first real memory I had, and we had this this like six pack of Yoohoo, and I was just obsessed with it, and it was this just impossible dilemma, because either I drink all of them and I feel terrible, or I don't drink them, but then I still feel terrible because I'm not getting the thing that I want. And just being a small child and being sort of trapped in that dilemma where there really is no good outcome, even if I manage to will my way, you know, away from the food or whatever it is, I still just feel terrible because I'm not getting what I want. And I don't know, I guess I'm just thinking about how it's a bit sad that it just starts so early, and you know, at least for me, and I was just sort of trapped in that, just an impossible situation where there is no solution, and I guess I just have to be grateful that I, you know, found this program at all, and that I have it now, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. That was William D. from Arizona. And next up, we have Julie G. Julie, come on in and share with us and tell us where you're calling in from, please. And then after Julie, I can take some more names.
Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for your service. I'm Julie G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania, and I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning and to be able to share today. What I find myself thinking about is my experience as a relatively newly recovered compulsive overeater. You know, I've been around this block a few times, as many of us have. And in this paragraph, I'm reminded of how little is still understood, even about alcoholism. That's a world that I live and work in. Even more so about our illness, because and what it reminds me of today is that I need God. I know that I need God and this program and this fellowship and these 12 steps to live a whole life. And but the outside world, including those who love me, including those who would have had me rouse myself and get my shit together and lose weight and stop, you know, whatever, stop yo-yoing or whatever. Like, they could see that I was unhappy, but they still don't understand what it is. And so for me, that is the possibility of the mental twist being activated by my surroundings is always going to exist, but less so, if I put God first. I love my family. I love my friends, but they can't help me with this. Only God can help me. My fellows can help me in that I believe I receive communication and love from the God of my understanding through my fellows. But nobody else around me gets it, or they may be one of us, and I represent what they believe is willpower that they don't have, and that's a false belief. But yeah, that's what I found myself thinking about. I'm grateful to have had the opportunity to learn this, and now I know it, and I don't need to eat anything to make anybody else happy or more comfortable. I can't, because I have a disease, whether other people realize it or recognize it or want to acknowledge it. And so it's my responsibility now that I know, and I'm grateful to share in this recovery with all of you. And thanks for your shares. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Julie. That was Julie G. from Pennsylvania. I am now ready for our third lineup. I can take some more names. We stop at 5 minutes before the hour. If you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute your phone. I'm ready to take some names.
Laura from Delaware.
The only thing I heard was Delaware.
Other
than
Delaware
and Connecticut.
DL
in
from
Delaware?
Indiana.
Who's from Delaware, please?
Dylan F. Dylan.
Excuse me? Okay, one more time, because I'm saying, who is from Delaware?
Dawn S.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry.
Uh-huh.
Who's from Indiana?
DL.
DL. Okay, so I have Dawn, DL, and Pete. Would anyone else like to share? I'm sorry,
Laura,
I didn't get the name.
Connecticut.
Thank you, Laura. One more name? Okay, we'll see how we go from there. Thank you for your patience out there. First up, we have Dawn S., followed by DL, Pete B., and then Laura. Dawn, please come in and share with us.
Thank you, and thank you for your service. This is Dawn S. from Delaware. And I loved what the sharer said about being so young and having no control. And that confused me when I was so very little. And I had the opposite. I didn't eat when I was little. I didn't start overeating until I was about 8 years old. And I couldn't understand where this absolute obsession came from. And being raised in a religious household, I thought that I wasn't human. I, you know, was on my knees. I was flat on my, you know, prostrate. I mean, I was prostrate. Sorry about that. I don't know if that's a slip of the tongue or what. Nothing gave me relief. I just thought I wasn't human. And when I walked into my first OA meeting, and they said that I had an allergy of the body and a twist of the mind, the relief that I felt was unbelievable. It was otherworldly. I was lifted up physically, I felt. I thought I was going to float out the ceiling. I was an actual human being. I was not an entity of obsession and compulsion. The universe keeps me that way. As long as I stay close to it and allow it to permeate me every day and show me its wonders, and I allow it to keep me balanced, have that feeling every day. I'm abstinent and grateful, and I just had to say that today. I thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry I couldn't get your name in the beginning. Dawn S. from Delaware. Next up, we have DL, followed by Pete B., and then Laura. DL, come on in and share with us, please.
DL from Indiana. Can you hear me?
We hear you well. Thank you.
All right. That first line, the tragic truth is if a man is a real alcoholic, the happy days may not arrive. He has lost control. And, you know, I was always attracted to food. And so I couldn't understand why I couldn't control it. So I really became a control freak. And I have to really let go of those
old ideas that I can control everything, because I know I can't. And in programming, you know, I understood the allergy of the body, but I thought I had my food all under control in the past. And so I could do it. And I left program years ago, and it took me 17 years to come back. So I have to get rid of those old ideas because they can really lead me back. You know, I used to reward myself with food and realize I can't do it alone. It is a spiritual program. I do have God in my life, but I have to continue to ask him to help me and lean into him. And, you know, I think it's, I really do identify in allergy of the body and the twist of the mind because I've lived it. So I just really thank everyone for giving me the opportunity to do service and to express, we just, you know, to keep trying and working the steps and, you know, getting out of ourselves and our selfishness and know we're not in control. So thank you for letting me share. DL from Indiana.
Thank you so much, DL from Indiana. Next up, we have Pete B, followed by Laura, and then we have time for one more share. Pete, please come in and share with us.
Thank you, Kathy, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job, and I appreciate your service. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. I figured I'd leave the italics for all the heavy hitters for tomorrow. I'll just tackle this regular font here. And you know, what's interesting is this book uses the term real alcoholic seven times, which to me means, you know, as a reader and as a person with the condition, I ought to know what they're referring to, right? You know, and if you're not careful, you know, you'll get this idea that what it means to be a real alcoholic. I wanted to blame the fact that I couldn't get to work on time, the fact that I was an alcoholic, or that I can't handle my feelings like other people can handle their feelings because I'm an alcoholic, or, you know, I can't handle good stuff, I can't handle bad stuff because I'm an alcoholic. And that may or may not be the case. That may be the situation, but it's not what a real alcoholic is. That's not what a real alcoholic is. They may be manifestations of mental illness that some of us also share, myself included. They may be, you know, scars from our youth or past lives or whatever. But that those things have nothing to do with what a real alcoholic is, or compulsive overeater in this case. You know, there's only one reason why a compulsive overeater picks up the first bite. It's because they're a compulsive overeater. There's no explanation. It's not as a result of anything. It's not from lack of doing something. It's because they're a compulsive overeater. The book calls it phenomena because it says we know it exists, but we don't know where it comes from. So it's we don't know what the origin is. Right? And it's a twofold illness. It's not multifold. It's twofold. It's an allergy of the body and obsession of the mind. We often refer to this, you know, spiritual malady, right? Like it's a third thing. It's not a third thing. Right? The spiritual malady is, the spiritual disease is, we try to put our trust and faith into entity or entities that can't meet our need. We put our trust and reliance and faith in ourselves, and we constantly fail us. And then we transition that. We put them in our fellows or in the group or in the organization or whatever, community, and that fails us ultimately if we do in fact have the condition. Right? The spiritual malady, the spiritual disease is that I don't learn to put my trust and faith in the only entity that can save me, the only entity that can provide hope. Right? He says it every day. Where is one that has all power? That one is God. May you find him now. And if we are truly inflicted with the I'll shut up with this, thank you. If we are truly inflicted, as the disease explains what the disease is, we have to put our trust and reliance in a power greater than ourselves. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Pete B. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Laura. And after Laura, we have time for one more share. So if you're willing to share after Laura, please be ready. Come on in, Laura. Please share with us.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, everybody. Good morning. I'm Laura L. from Connecticut. I'm grateful. I have 25 years in this program. Grateful for my recovery and for my higher power and all of you. I was thinking of a couple situations in my past before I became in the program that showed me that I was out of control and I couldn't control it, but I didn't want to admit it. I was at a public event where it was sort of a reunion of people I used to work for in a nonprofit that I worked for when I was younger, and they hadn't seen me for quite a while, and I was heavier. I was pretty heavy at that point, and there was a small buffet table, and I just could not leave it. And at that point, my disease had progressed from grazing to binging and purging. And I had done all different types of purging, throwing up, exercise bulimia, and then and now I was at the stage of spitting out. So I would take food into the bathroom with me, chew it, and spit it out because I would get the taste but not the calories. You know, all this was in terror of gaining weight. And I just, you know, people saw me. I was just standing by the food table and would discreetly put things in my pockets, which I'm sure they saw. I wasn't that far away, and go to the bathroom and do my thing. And so, and I would also throw up whatever I was not able to spit out. So, you know, I look back at that and I just like, oh my God, they all knew. They all were watching me. They didn't know exactly what I did when I went to the bathroom, but they saw my weight. They saw I couldn't leave the table barely to say hi to them and everything. I was so shaming. It was so humiliating and embarrassing. And then before I came into program, I also went off the road in an ice storm, and I had with me a whole cup of stuff I had spit out from binging on donuts at a 7-Eleven or something. And I was so terrified that the cops would come and pull my car out, or somebody would come pull my car out and find that, and I would be discovered. I mean, I just lived in terror and fear all the time of being found out, but I couldn't stop, and people were noticing. I couldn't hide it like the way I used to. And that was terrifying, and I hated myself even more. And after 25 years in program, you know, I'm getting towards loving myself, and and none of that exists for me anymore. And I've learned, you know, to forgive myself and accept myself and love and trust God, God as being, you know, the solution for me. So thank you all for being there today. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. That was Laura L. from Connecticut. And we have time for a two-minute share. Is there someone out there that would like to take us out for this day?
Sarah G.
Excuse me?
Sarah G.
Okay, come on in and share with us. Give us your name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling in from, please.
Hi, this is Sarah G. I'm calling from New Jersey, Central New Jersey. I really loved everyone's shares on this. I really can understand the whole childhood thing. I remember being a little girl and just not, I remember I finished a whole container of cottage cheese once, and my aunt was like, nobody finishes a whole container of cottage cheese. Like, nobody does that. I was like, okay. And to this day, I'd eat a whole cake before I did a whole container of cottage cheese again. But, I also want to say that I really appreciate the set-aside prayer, because hearing everybody's different experiences really, really helps me realize that everybody is different, everybody's recovery is different, and mine in particular, my big awakening was that I'm actually not God and I don't have to control everybody and everything, including myself, my children, my coworkers. They all have God. I don't have to be their God. I just have to be the best person that I could be. I used to think I was such a nice, kind person controlling everybody. I'm not good at God. So I'm just grateful to be Sarah G. and God's servant. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for all everybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sarah G. from New Jersey. Thank you for taking us out. Thank you to everyone who shared on today's meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, March 10th, is 23,273. That's 23273. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Susan S.H. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Come on in, Susan, please.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. This is Susan S.H. I'm in St. Mary's, Ohio. I'm a real compulsive overeater. Recovered today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great pact for us. Excuse me. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to yourself, your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. You freely of what you find and join us. Oh, my goodness. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.